I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I got a million questions I want to ask you. Yeah. First of all, how you doing, all right?
I'm doing pretty good. I feel pretty good. I can't complain other than the fact that I did say when I was in New York I'd reach out to you and come on the show, but yeah. I didn't know that your damn show started at 7 o'clock in the morning. Yeah,
6 o'clock.
Is it 6 o'clock in the morning?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my gosh, man.
You were hanging with Michael Rapaport last night, so I'm sure you were up really late last night.
Oh, dude. Yeah, we did the One Chip Challenge with him last night. So what I've done is the creator of the chip lives in South Carolina or North Carolina, Fort Mill. And I went out there and I came up with the idea of, you know, everybody's doing this One Chip Challenge, but they're not raising money. So I'm raising money for my foundation that it benefits women that uninsured women that we give them mammograms.
Right. Okay.
And if we find anything, we carry them out throughout the entire process until they're cancer free. So for every minute that you go, it's $100 I donate to my foundation. It doesn't come from them, and up to 10 minutes, which is $1,000.
And how long did Rapaport
go? He went for
go?
2 minutes. And not only did he go for 2 minutes, but he bought himself out of it and said, I donate $5,000 if you just let me drink water.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, that's a great thing, D'Angelo. You know, and I often say here, and I get frustrated sometimes because of all the negativity around the NFL, that there are a lot of guys like you out there that do a lot of great things, and you're still doing it even though you're not playing, and you're using your platform in a way that, you know, you're out there helping people. What's the inspiration for it?
The inspiration for
my foundation.
Well, my mom and my four aunts died of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. We have the BRCA1 gene in our family, and my mom, she died 3 years ago, and my first aunt died in 92, and she was 32 years old. Oh. My mom is the only one to live past 50. But here's the caveat to all that. So I don't know if you. It made a lot of news a few years back when Angelina Jolie removed her breast.
Yes,
and she didn't have breast cancer. Well, I'm here to tell you this right now. Had my mom and my aunts knew this information, this is what the doctor told us. If you have the BRCA1 gene and you get your breasts removed before breast cancer is present, there's no way you can get breast cancer. So Angelina Jolie carries a trait of the BRCA1 gene.
And that's why she did
so that's why she removed her breasts. So now she doesn't have the the possibilities of getting breast cancer because she got them both removed, and they form in that soft fatty tissue that's in your breast.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're doing a hell of a job and putting a face on it and really trying to do something about it, and coming here to New York is a great place to do that. You know, I know you probably watched the Monday night game between the Steelers and the Bengals.
I did.
And you spent, the last two years in that Steeler locker room.
Yes.
So you saw the injury to Ryan Shazier. And I'm just trying to think, where were you when you were watching the game, and what did it feel like for
well,
you?
Well, I was down in the basement because normally we watch the game together, my wife and I.
Right.
And we let the kids watch a little bit of it before they go to sleep. Well, this particular day I was down in the basement and my wife was on the main floor doing something, washing dishes or washing clothes or something, and kind of watching the game too. Well, it was 4 minutes into the game when it happened. And when it happened, I was just like, Ryan, man, just get up. Just walk this off. And by that time, my wife called. And she's crying. Like, she can't even get the words out of her mouth because she's friends with his fiance. Right. And she's friends with him. And we knew him. Like, he's our friend. We still know him.
Well, you were in that locker room with
so
him.
So to see one of your guys go down that you know, like, it hurts you, even if it was a guy that you did know, because you as a football player, you know, it's a family of 1,800 guys or however many guys are on that roster, because we're all fighting for one common goal, and that's to win a world championship.
You could tell immediately when you saw
the
hit?
You could tell immediately because, you know, my wife was a trainer in college, and, you know, she had a degree in biology, and she was saying that he shouldn't have rolled over. Mm. And I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, in that instance right there, when you can't feel anything from the waist down, and you could see he was moving his arms and trying to get the feeling back.
He also had, like, he reached back to his lower back.
Right. He reached back to his lower back.
Because I did the game on national radio that night, and I saw what happened to him. And I saw when he rolled over that he could not move his legs. Like, his legs were rigid.
Yes.
But you could see he could have his hands. He put his hands on his helmet.
Yes.
And I just felt like he knew exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And by doing that, I think anybody who knew him,
yes,
probably like your wife and you and all of his family watching the game, probably knew or felt the same thing.
Right. And a lot of people, you know, they wanted to point out the fact that, you know, he had his head down when he made the hit. You know, that was a similar hit that he made on the running back the year before Giovanni in the playoffs. It was the same hit, but he didn't hit the thickness of the player. And everybody was saying, you know, that's what happens when you play the game illegally or you don't have correct technique.
Well, some people are saying that, but most people who play the game, D'Angelo, know that sometimes you get yourself into a position that you can't get yourself out of just simply by the way the bodies are interacting and the quickness of the game and the speed of the game. So
you try to talk to those people that have never played football that don't understand what technique is, and they listen to these guys like, man, he should have had proper technique. Where it doesn't work like that. It works like, you know, when you're in a car and an accident happened, like this is an accident.
Right.
That it happened. You know, and we gotta learn from this accident and make sure that we can prevent future accidents of this magnitude.
Have you guys been in touch with Ryan?
No, we haven't. We've reached out, but the thing is like there's a thin line between friendships and like personal space. Like this is one of those things where, you know, when he's ready to let, or his family's ready to let everybody else know, then they'll let us know. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to intrude and ask those questions and then somebody asks me how Ryan's doing and I break the news.
Right.
Like I truly don't know anything, just like you guys don't know. I know what they tell me, and then once I get that information that they tell me, then I can reach out to them and have those discussions.
Well, you
and
know,
conversations.
It's very thoughtful that you think that way, because I'm sure that the family is just besieged by many well wishers and prayers and everything else, and sometimes that becomes overwhelming. And we all understand. We're talking to D'Angelo Williams, running back for the Panthers. Great career down there with Jonathan Smith. I feel like I've done like 100 of your games between you and Jonathan Smith going back
Stewart.
And forth.
Jonathan Stewart,
going back and forth. And then, of course, you going to the Steelers. Is the Steelers locker room as crazy as it seems?
Oh, absolutely. It's a fun locker room, man. It's a great environment, man. It's exactly what you think it is. You got the Debo section. You got the Antonio Brown section. You got the Ben section. You have the now Juju Smith section. You have the O-line. Like, it is incredible. It's an incredible atmosphere because, you know, obviously they're on an 8-game win streak, which is also good, too. And, you know, Coach Tomlin, he tells us all the time, and this is one of his mottos, and I love the fact that this is one of his mottos. He said, I'm in the business of winning football games. Those that are not in the business of winning football games are not in this business.
I love this guy. I love Tyler.
I mean, you know, he's crazy. I mean, he's like the head crazy guy of all the crazy people
Absolutely.
Underneath him.
Yeah.
So this year unfortunately, we had the injury with Ryan Shazier.
Yes.
And I think that's actually really galvanized the team.
It
because
has.
There were times that this year I looked at this team and I'm like, man, they're all over the place.
Yes.
You know, Antonio Brown's running wide open against the Ravens. He's screaming and yelling on the sideline that he's not getting the ball.
All right.
Ben Roethlisberger throws 5 interceptions against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Whereas he basically says after the game, maybe I don't have it anymore.
Yes.
You got Le'Veon Bell, who's not touching the ball enough, so he's screaming about, I need to touch the ball more. I mean, think of these personalities that you have. And then on top of all that, you have the head coach who always comes out and gives these declarative statements.
Yes.
And it just seems from afar that the team is really close, but it also seems like it's like a bunch of lunatics.
No, it's controlled chaos, man. That's what
like
you
that.
Want. That's what you want on your football team, man. Yeah. You want to walk into that locker room every day, or you want to walk into your meeting. Meetings, not knowing what the hell is going to go on, so you can react naturally to what it is that's going on. Because you never know what somebody's going to do. In this day and age, it's a digital age. You don't know what somebody's going to tweet, what somebody's going to text.
Or put on Facebook.
Or put on Facebook.
Yeah. So it's interesting you say that. I don't want to talk about the Antonio Brown thing from last year, but just for 1 minute. That surprised me, being with the way the head coach is. From the outside looking in, it looks like he's got total controlled chaos.
100%.
But it looks like he's got total control. And then you've got Brown sitting there with the Facebook Live thing, and he's giving
Stop
a speech
it,
to the rest
Stop
of the family.
It, Jerry. Stop
now,
it.
Explain
this
to me.
Has nothing to do with that, Jerry. You know exactly what this has to do.
That's why I'm asking you.
That video is acceptable on all levels with us as football players because he did nothing wrong. He did. But this is this is why I was so big. I'm getting there, Jerry. This is why I'm so big. That's something that the media cannot give you.
Right.
In its purity, because that was 15 minutes that you can't get. Because what you're used to when you see Coach Tomlin is he get up there and he give you those cliches, or he give you those speeches where you just like, man, That was good.
I love that. But,
I think this is the first time you saw him in his period.
But I think you're missing my point, though. I don't care that he did it. I can do it every day. I think it's great. Right. I think it's good interaction with the fans. My point is, I looked at the Steelers, and I look at Mike Tomlin. I remember there was a thought he might get let go. I'm a Cowboy fan. And I'm thinking, boy, I'd love to see him anywhere.
My question to you is, you're still bitter about the one or two playoff wins in the last 25 years. I get it.
But it's okay. They beat him in Super Bowl 30. I'm good.
That's what you're still living on.
I have to.
It's Super Bowl 52.
Dion.
Catch up,
I got
Jerry.
Nothing in the last 22 up, years. I got Ezekiel Elliott and I got Dak Prescott.
You have Dak Prescott because Ezekiel Elliott is still
suspended. He'll be back next week. My question is, I don't care that he's doing the Facebook Live. It's great. My question is, from the outside looking in, I was surprised that that would go on in a Tomlin locker room while he's giving a speech. And it almost seemed like there was a disconnect. And you're telling me that's just the culture and it's fun and nobody cares.
Now, I'm going to tell you what a disconnect is. And I hate to get off on this, but I'm going to have to get off on this. This is a disconnect right here in the locker room. When McAdoo benches Eli Manning, and then the public reaction to that benching is an uproar. And then the owner over here in New York fires him. Like, are you going to stand by your coach? Because all year you've said that he's our guy.
He was going to get fired anyway.
Should have been fired
3 weeks prior.
So everybody said that was a bad move. They can't win with Eli or without him.
Not this year.
They don't want to put money in their offensive lineman. The last time Eli Manning was good was when they won the Super Bowl.
Well, doing large part.
A couple years ago, he had a really good season.
What's a good season? Go to the playoffs?
35 touchdowns and 16 interceptions. That's not a good season?
Well, for the Steelers.
4,000 yards, 35 interceptions, not a good season?
For an ex-Steelers, that's not a good season.
Why is that not a good season?
It's all about winning and going to the playoffs. You wouldn't know
consistently going to the playoffs because you're a Cowboys fan.
But go ahead, Boomer.
He's got all the answers. I don't want to fight him for any of this stuff. I want you to stay here for another segment because you got a lot of good stuff. I want to hear what you think about the Patriots. Also, want to hear about what you think about what Ben Roethlisberger said last year at this time about his own team and whether or not that's going to play into this week.
Okay.
All right.
Listen to Boomer Esiason, morning 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Are the Pittsburgh Steelers buttoned up enough to beat the buttoned-up Patriots this weekend, the game of the year?
Well, the Miami Dolphins was buttoned up enough to beat them.
They lose down there. That game didn't mean anything.
This game means something. What do you mean it didn't mean anything?
It didn't mean anything. In the big picture of things, the records, the seeding in the AFC, it didn't really mean anything. This game means something. And Gronkowski
every game means something. And when you say button up, I don't see why everybody think that the Pittsburgh Steelers even when I play for them right now, chasing the New England Patriots.
I'm just telling you right now, that's not my words. That's
everybody's chasing the Patriots.
Yeah, but he never said anything about
that. We got a button up around here.
We got a button up. It didn't mean anything to do with
you.
You automatically relate that to the New England Patriots?
Yeah, but what does that mean?
Are you serious? If I'm the New England Patriots, they should be looking up to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's if anything.
Wait, how so? What are you talking about?
Because you look at what the New England Patriots have done right now. I said this earlier, and I said that their issue is that they went out and they got stars. They plugged Stephon Gilmore into that system. They moved Butler over, and they had really good players trying to transition from doing what they normally do as players and playing a system. So that hurt them early on, and now they have these really good players playing in this system, and it's not so much highlighting their skill set.
But they're playing in the system. I don't know, but if they win this game, they're still the number one seed.
But New England's not going to win this game, though. They're not going to win this game.
Tell me why they're not going to win this game.
They're not going to win this game because they don't have enough defense for the high-powered offense of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm telling you this right now as we sit here. Okay. The Steelers' defense is 10 times better than that Miami Dolphins' defense.
I don't agree with that.
Come on, Boomer.
No, listen, I don't want to go back to they lost Ryan Shazier, which was a
right?
huge
He's the communicator.
He's the communicator. He was the heart and soul. Maybe they're playing with him in their heart and soul. You know, maybe this will galvanize the team. There's no question about it. They're going to play for him, as you saw with all the cleats and everything last week and all that other stuff. But here's the thing. The Baltimore Ravens, which have one of the worst offenses in all of the NFL, walked in there and had an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter, and they had 38 points on the board. How does that happen?
I'm not listening to this, Boomer. You can't listen to it. You're the same guy. Boomer, you're the same guy that just sat here and said that game didn't mean nothing last week.
Yes.
And knows know that the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers is a rivalry game.
I know that.
So that has the same implications.
Well, the Miami New England's a rivalry game, especially for Miami down there where the Patriots.
You said it didn't matter, though.
Well, historically,
yeah,
they
said,
don't play
right.
Well.
He said it didn't matter. Now he's backtracking.
You just
backtracking.
Said it didn't matter.
He said it didn't matter.
But am I right that the Patriots normally don't play well down in Miami?
The Dolphins are the one team that gives them trouble. But you said the game doesn't matter.
You said it didn't matter.
The Ravens.
You said it like New England was playing on a 100-yard field and Miami was playing on a 95-yard field.
And by the way, and I'd like to know which Steeler is going to stop Rob Gronkowski this week. If you could just tell me that, I'd like to know who that player is.
It's not that they have to stop him. If Tom Brady if he's on his back, he can't throw the ball to him. Miami proved that.
I will tell you that Tom Brady looked fidgety in two games, or skittish, as the word
I think
is.
The last three has not looked great.
Two games, Jerry, skittish this year.
Obviously, we have a Tom Brady fan in the house.
Well, yes, you do, because I do believe he's the greatest of all time at his position, and he's proved it a year in and year out, and he's 40 years old, and he's playing like he's 30. And you know that, and I know that, and you should have a healthy respect for that.
I'm getting the sense you're not a big fan.
I am surprised at you, D'Angelo.
Boomer.
I know what Boomer. It is. You're mad that Bill Belichick didn't call you.
I'm not mad that Bill Belichick didn't call me. I'm actually okay with him not calling me because...
would have been a tough decision.
Yeah, it would have been a tough decision.
Could you imagine being in that Patriot uniform going into Heinz Field this week?
I cannot imagine that because from all accounts that I've heard about Bill Belichick and how he coaches that team, is a completely different atmosphere from how I'm used to being coached. Huh. So it would have been a difference there for me in coaching styles because I like the Coach Tomlin style, just aggressive, in your face. I'm going to tell you how it is and what it's going to be. If you can't live up to that, then we'll get somebody else in there.
Nice.
Coach Tomlin is one of the very few players. I don't know if you watch Le'Veon Bell, but they don't sub much on offense because they don't sub much on defense. That's how he runs his team. If you 11 players on defense, none of you come off the field. Yeah. So because none of you come off the field, we want the same thing on offense. Because the cornerbacks, you go two or three deep routes, the cornerback doesn't go off the field. So that's why Antonio Brown has so many. He doesn't come off the field. Le'Veon doesn't come off the field. And when he does, everybody like, is he okay? Is he hurt? Hmm. Because it's a different standard.
I know what's going on here. You don't think I know what's going on. You don't think I know who you are, what's this
all
about.
What are you talking about?
I know what this is all about. I know what this whole thing is
about. What are you talking about?
You are so mad that the Patriots took Lawrence Maroney over you in the draft.
I am a little pissed about it.
I knew it.
But see, I put stuff like that aside. I also put aside the fact that you play for the Cincinnati Bengals and you still, in part, pull for them.
No, I
and
don't.
We know how dirty your organization
this
is.
Super Bowl. That's right. No.
We know how dirty your organization is, so you kind of have some pent-up aggression towards me because I played for a franchise that had 6 Super Bowls and you never sniffed one.
No, we were there twice, but we didn't win. That's
Sure. You was just there.
We were there.
It was there because I remember you guys getting trashed when you were there.
No, we didn't get trashed.
No,
he
came off the field. He was winning. He was beating Montana and the Niners.
We lost at the end. Now, maybe you were
still a kid. So if you ask me, the greatest of all time at quarterback should have been Montana because he beat you in the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, he was the greatest of all time.
He sniffed Montana.
He was the greatest of all time until Tom Brady won his 5th Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
That's the way I look at it. Tom's played in 7 of them, but I just have a healthy respect for your quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger.
Thank you.
Who I've often characterized as the best football player playing quarterback. Like, in other words, the play doesn't start until he gets hit.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And that's another thing that pisses me off about Ben Roethlisberger.
What's that?
As good as he is, he's never been up for the MVP of the league.
Well, you know, maybe Antonio Brown will win it this year.
He's never. Like,
really?
No. AB won't win it.
Why not?
AB won't win it. He's a receiver. He's a receiver. And you just talked about Tom Brady. He's 40 years old. He's throwing for 4,000 yards.
You do know he did win an MVP.
Dude.
Boomer won an MVP?
I did, yes.
It was a down year that year, huh?
I guess so.
But it was a down year that year. A lot of quarterbacks got hurt.
Yeah, but guess what? I got the hardware, though. Just remember that, okay?
He does.
So, but here's the thing. AB this year, for real, because I do vote for the award.
Yeah.
And AB for real will be in the mix. And
he'll be in the mix. He won't win it.
He's doing something that no wide receiver's ever
done
before.
He'd have to go for 2,000 yards
he'll
in order to win that.
I think that's going to be tough, man,
because if I'm New England, I'm doubling him. If I'm anybody that's playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm going to take him
away. There's only one team that's been able to do that, really. And first of all, Baltimore did it in Baltimore, but the Jacksonville Jaguars did it. Now, let me ask you a question. How badass is that defense?
The Jacksonville Jaguars?
That's a real defense. Why don't you like them now?
I'm going to tell you something. And this is I said this the other day.
Okay.
Everybody says defense win championships, defense win championships. I've never seen a game won 0-0. So you have to have some level of offense. And that's something that the Jacksonville Jaguars do not have.
All right, that's D'Angelo Williams, you know, and he's crazy. You fit. That's why you fit that team so well.
Here's what I learned. If they're not wearing black and gold, garbage.
No, it's not at all. I'm one of those that I don't look at numbers. I look at play.
Right, okay.
And when I look at play, I analyze what I see, not necessarily what the numbers say, because the numbers can tell you 7 for 19, 436 yards, 4 touchdowns, but you threw the pick to lose the game.
I got you.
And nobody talks about that one pick because your body as a whole was so great that, hey, you know, we ain't going to worry about that old pick. But then we say, hey, I can look at it as in the clutch, you fold.
Well, I think Tony Romo dealt with that for his entire career. Right, well, right.
So every time you bring up the Cowboys, you just
I don't understand that.
I'm helping his point.
They
draft right.
in front of you that you hate them. You probably
the Cowboys.
Is.
It's just that their fans are just annoying, bro. Like it's just they're still stuck in the '90s, and I'm just like, dude, it's 2017, bro. Right. We're going into 2018.
Michael Irvin was a hell of a receiver.
He was. That's what everybody talk about. And then they talk about Dez Bryant. Was it a catch or not a catch? We don't give it. It's over. It's over. Like, they're not paying the Green Bay back. This is not the. That's over. It's a wrap.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Can we get past it? This is 2017. Dak Prescott is your quarterback. Ezekiel Elliott is your running back. Right now, he's suspended. You're 7-6 or 8-6 right now.
7-6.
Like, live with it. Let's talk reality.
I'm
let's not talk
it.
About being stuck in the past, because I can talk about a lot of stuff in the past that you won't let me talk about.
Exactly. We don't get into all that.
Steelers,
anyway.
Cowboys last year in Pittsburgh. We can talk about that.
Oh, that's what you want to go.
Well, that's not the 90s.
How many playoff games did y'all win last year?
But they didn't.
Okay, you don't want to talk about
that. All right, so give me a score. What do you think Sunday? You got a score for Sunday?
I do. I think the Steelers are going to win by 10.
And really?
I think the Steelers are going to win by 10 because that defense is going to show you something that's a little different. I know Tom Brady is a monster when it comes to checking. And communication is going to be key on that defensive side of the ball for Pittsburgh because he does make a lot of audibles and things of that nature. But there's something that Gronk does not like. And that's happened to him time and time again this year that nobody ever talks about. If you're physical with Gronk, you could take him out of the game.
They could probably.
And Pittsburgh is going to do that. We've seen him hit a guy in the head because he was somebody he was holding him, so we know he has that in him.
He's going to get frustrated by the whole thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
He's going to get frustrated.
I did their first game against Kansas City. Eric Berry was all over him.
Right.
And he was climbing on his back and everything else. If the officials want to throw the flags and be a part of the game, then all of a sudden that whole dynamic changes because that's what he's frustrated about. But I here's what I think. I think Le'Veon Bell is going to run for 150 yards. He is going to run for 150
he's
yards
not
against
run for
the New England defense. I don't think Allen Branch is going to play for them. And I'm just telling you, they will run the ball right down the throat of the New England Patriots defense.
I don't think they'll do that.
And I believe the quarterback that has the ball last will win the football game. So either one has the ball last, they're going to go the length of the field to win the football game.
Did you watch the AFC Championship game?
I did. They smothered the Steelers. Killed the Steelers.
They opened them up
and they drilled that 3-4 defense configuration. They spread them out. And by the way, the Patriots will be healthy.
I'm right here.
They will be healthy.
I'm right here, bro.
You're right there, man. I got it. I'm telling you. I'm explaining it to you.
Did you have to land on that thing, though?
No, like, I'm
right here.
Listen, you would have loved me as your quarterback. You would have loved me. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I saw the gold jacket, man, but I didn't see your name on it.
Well, all right, that's D'Angelo Williams. D'Angelo, you are welcome anytime, my man. You got a great foundation. You got great stuff. You got a great personality, a great sense of humor. And you're wrong about this Sunday.
We'll see. You want to make a little wager, Boomer?
Sure, anytime.
Also, this is what we'll do.
Okay,
after
what's
the Steelers win, we can do the one chip challenge right here on the show live, and they'll have to see you eat that hot chip and go for 10 minutes and do your radio show right there as if you didn't eat the chip.
And then if the Patriots win, then what?
Well, you got to
tell
me. I have
a foundation as well.
Okay, you have a foundation.
Right, so my son has cystic fibrosis, so we raise money for CF.
Okay.
I'll figure out something in the meantime. But you know what? Shake on it. Thank you. All right,
absolutely.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.